Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 4, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, Evolution, the Next Level. There used to be dinosaurs, now, there aren't any. There used to be countless species that no longer exist because this is the nature of evolution. If this is so, will we, too, become extinct at some point in the future? Evolution moves ever forward. Even though we do not see it, everything in nature follows a very rigid dictate. The final form to which evolution is moving is already set, and determines every form that precedes it. Therefore, when species become extinct, they don't really vanish, they continue to exist but in a more advanced form. Were it not for the prior form, the current form would not evolve, as well. In that sense, every species that has ever existed exists within the species that inhabit the world today. Moreover, it enables the existence of the current forms of life on Earth. When something completes its development, it morphs into a new form, and it seems to us as though it vanished, but it hasn't, it has only progressed. Therefore, we must not forcibly eradicate any form of life, so that all life forms can complete their cycle, but we must also not regret it when a species becomes extinct. The important thing for us, as humans, is to see to our own development. Today, we've come to a stage in our development where we should rise above the physical level and begin to study the purpose of our existence. This stage is the beginning of our spiritual development, when we begin to discover how we are connected to the entire universe, and that our purpose in life is not to secure our physical sustenance, but to reveal the interconnectedness of all of nature and experience it firsthand. In the spiritual stage, we begin to feel how all of nature operates. We begin to feel nature's inner program and understand nature's logic. As we begin to sympathize with it, we stop feeling our own bodies and begin to feel nature as a whole. And since nature is eternal, this is the point where our physical existence no longer limits our spiritual one, and we transcend time and space as we acquire the qualities of nature itself, connectedness, balance, and harmony. Once we rise to this level, we realize that this is the purpose of our existence. We find that when we think and operate like nature, we become one with everything. At that time, there is no end to our existence. We transcend personal interest and become loving toward all beings, as all beings are parts of us, and we of them. This is the eternal, spiritual reality, and it is the future of each and every one of us, as soon as we transcend our narrow egoism, which caters only to our current, fleeting selves. Medium published my new article Time to Be Responsible Adults. Let's face it, we're egoists. We don't like each other, and even worse, we think there's nothing wrong with it. We start measuring our attitude toward others from the zero point. That is, feeling indifference toward others is our starting point, our zero, and from there we begin to judge. If I have some affection toward another person, it's considered good. If I dislike a person, it is considered bad. This attitude is what brought us to where we are now, and the more we continue with it, the more we accelerate our decline. This is true not only of the social level, where human relations are obviously the key factor, but it also applies to every realm. From wars through poverty to climate change, our negative attitude toward each other is the cause of our misfortunes. It is time for us to realize that through our egoistic, narcissistic attitude toward others, we are leading the world on a downward spiral. Now we must become responsible adults and conduct ourselves as such. We have entered a new phase in our development. The singular system that we all comprise has become so entwined that we can no longer remain neutral. Everything we do that does not help all people and all things, hurts them, and therefore us. Additionally, the time between our mistakes and their consequences is growing shorter. We have always been dependent on each other, we have always influenced each other through our positive or negative thoughts and actions. These days, this mutual dependence is becoming evident. It is absolute and there is nowhere to escape. This is why it is imperative that we become considerate, kind, and caring toward each other, since each of us affects all of us in everything we do. It may be unpleasant news, but it is not nearly as unpleasant as the consequences of our refusal to acknowledge reality. The 121 degrees Fahrenheit in British Columbia and the floods in Western Europe are but the prelude. The future will be much worse unless we act. I am not saying this to scare people. I am saying this to bring it to everyone's attention, since there is still time for us to prevent the cataclysm. The more we talk about it and think about it, the easier it will be for us to reverse the trajectory. When we look at the climate and the natural and man-made disasters happening around the world, they may indeed seem incurable. But we must remember that besides us, everything in nature is in perfect harmony with everything else. Where there is harmony, there is balance, and such disasters as we've seen this summer do not happen. The only place where there is no harmony or balance is among us, in human society. In other words, the upheavals we are seeing merely reflect the upheaval unfolding among us. If we restore harmony among us, the only element of balance in existence will regain stability and the storm will subside. This is why we must work so hard on nurturing kindness and caring toward each other. Since we're all egoists, having a neutral stance gives the upper hand to negative forces, which then reflect on all levels of existence. To balance out our inherent negative attitude, we must create an equally powerful positive attitude. This is something we can do only if we all pull together and resolve to install love, kindness, and caring where there are currently hatred, egoism, and dislike. My new article on LinkedIn, Toward the Abolition of the Nation-State. A comment on one of my recent posts about the state of the world stated, "There have always been cataclysm, sick, all over the world," basically stating that it's not the end of the world as we know it. Factually, that comment is evidently correct. Why then is there a point in focusing on what is going on today? There is a fundamental difference between what is happening these days and what had happened until today, even when the cataclysms are not as bad as past ones, at least not yet. Now they are happening everywhere, concurrently, and with growing ferocity and frequency. Another, very important, point: people are far more fragile and therefore far more affected by cataclysms than our ancestors. The more these fires, storms, earthquakes, and pandemics plague the world, the more we will feel helpless. The gap between the life we believe we deserve and the life we actually have will become a chasm that will impel us to realize that we cannot cope alone. We will realize that only unity can save us, but our egos will drive us further and further apart. Finally, we will realize that until we deal with our egos, we will not be able to deal with our problems. At that point, we will realize that we have to overcome our separation, and that the most divisive element in our world is nationality. That will be the day when we decide to bid farewell to the notion of the nation-state. There will still be elements that create diversity, such as culture or ethnicity. But diversity is not negative, but positive, increasing a nation's strength and resilience. When people rise above their differences, they form stronger bonds than they had before they fortified their cohesion. But when they are separated by countries, their intention is to stay apart and outperform other countries, and dominate them. This works contrary to the trajectory of reality toward unity. In fact, today, governments have become detrimental not only to other nations, but even to their own nations. There is nothing more egoistic than the government in each and every country. The world will not be left ungoverned, but the government will consist of people who have been taught how to rise above local and personal interests, who feel and consider the world in its entirety, rather than a small section of it. This may sound far-fetched today, but it will not be long before we all realize that unity is a matter of life and death, that either we all adopt a reciprocal mode of thinking, or we will all perish. When that thinking becomes dominant, people will develop a more inclusive perception, including governors. Then, it won't be inconceivable for a leader to actually have the benefit of the people in mind, rather than one's own benefit or that of one's cronies. Also, there will not be a single, autocratic leader, but a council of individuals who are all committed to the well-being of the people. They will consult and jointly decide on the required policy in every matter. It will be a bit like the Sanhedrin that the people of Israel had had in ancient times, when people of high moral degree, whose minds and hearts were focused only on the benefit of the people, governed the nation and decided what was right and what was wrong. As I said, we are not there yet, but this is where humanity is going. Michael Lehtman, on Quora. How can we contribute to create a sustainable community for the sustenance of life on the Earth? We can create a sustainable human community by means of education and dissemination of the knowledge that the quality of our life depends not on the extent to which we fill ourselves with all kinds of technical, technological and technocratic fulfillment, but on the contrary, our fulfillment depends on psychological comfort. It depends on the satisfaction we feel as a result of being fulfilled and of living in a harmonious world. The degree of our progress towards such a world depends only on such education and its promotion. It can be achieved on condition that we organize our life as an altruistic and positively connected human society. We can do so when we each absorb or take for ourselves only as much as we need to exist, and give the remaining part of our earnings or production to benefit the life of the worldwide global society. This is how cells of a living organism exist and function. It is nature's law, and it is how nature organizes life on the animate level. Every cell exists only for the goal of the existence of the organism as a whole, otherwise the cell becomes cancerous. This is how we need to behave. Each person needs to act like a human cell relative to the whole organism of humanity. If we do so, then unquestionably we will each feel confident and live as a peaceful and harmonious society. Based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman on September 9, 2006. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman. How to reach upper love? Question. The upper governing force is love, and it cannot be attained by the mind. How can we reach it? Answer. The upper governing force is love. It can be reached only to the extent that a person develops it within himself. In our world, in our states, this feeling does not exist at all. Our corporeal love is egoistic. It is not the correct, natural, true attitude of one person toward another. However, Kabbalah gives us the opportunity to attract the upper light, the upper energy, which builds the quality of true love in us. From Kab TV's Kabbalah Express, July 19, 2021. Why should I forgive? Question. Lyudmila writes to us, I don't know how to forgive. I also believe that any action should be punishable. But if I could forgive, I think it would be much easier emotionally. Can we learn to forgive? Answer. We can learn to forgive only if we understand the evilness of our nature. Once I realize what I am, an egoist, forgetting about others, never paying back with kindness, and so on and so forth, then I come to a state where I cause all the negative effects upon myself. Thus, I have no one to forgive. I just need to have good thoughts about others. Comment, what you just said, I cause negative effects upon myself. It sounds a little scary. My response, of course, I cause it. How else? With my egoistic nature, I turn the whole of nature against myself. Therefore, it follows that I need to change myself, to at least want to change myself even if it is not possible to accomplish anything. and then everything will change. The world is actually all about the relations between us. Question: so I am beginning to understand that criminals are all inside me? Answer: of course. Comment: as soon as I change that, everything will change around me? Answer: it all depends on me. Question: will this formula work if I truly understand that I need to change and then everything around me will change? Answer: it does not change instantly, at will. But it does change. Question: given that there is such a process, will humanity have no choice but to follow it? Answer: humanity must be convinced first of all that there is no other way. Only then will it follow this process exclusively. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, June 24, 2021. The Wisdom of Kabbalah and the Nations of the World. Question from Facebook: there is the concept of Gentiles, the nations of the world, in the Wisdom of Kabbalah. How do Kabbalists relate to them? Is it like in the Talmud or not? Answer: the Talmud and the Wisdom of Kabbalah are the same thing. We just need to understand that everything depends on the person who reads what we call the holy books. They are called holy because they were written by people who attain the upper world. The Hebrew word goy means nation. The Jews are actually not considered a nation. It is a special group of people who have taken the responsibility to attain the attribute of love and bestowal, to resemble the Creator, upon themselves, and then to convey this attribute to the whole world, to teach it to humanity, to be a light unto the nations of the world, and for the nations of the world. So the group that was formed in ancient Babylon from all the nations of the world that lived there and was cut off from them, began to call itself the nation of Israel, although it is not a nation. It is also written in the Torah that this group is not one of the nations. There are the 70 nations of the world that stem from other roots, because there are 70 spiritual roots for all these nations and they are all egoistic, while the group called the nation of Israel is and was altruistic. But eventually, after 1,500 years, we fell into the ego once more, and today we are the greatest egoists among all the other nations. From CAB TV's Answers to Questions from Facebook, March 10, 2019. Is it possible to forgive and forget everything? Comment: it seems that we are entering the era of repentance. In America, police officers are asking for forgiveness more and more, and now the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act is being considered in Congress, which addresses the behavior of police officers and Americans in general. French President Emmanuel Macron, on a visit to Rwanda, recognized responsibility of France for the genocide in 1994 and asked for forgiveness. The German foreign minister admitted that the Germans carried out a genocide in Namibia in 1904-1908. He promised to allocate €1.5 billion for the development of Namibia. Canada has called the forced assimilation of Indians a cultural genocide. The Canadian Prime Minister apologized. How do you feel about this process? My response: mainly, these will be various excesses and nothing good will come of it either, because all this is based on the great egoism of people on both sides. What good happened to South Africa, to Pretoria, after the local population occupied Cape Town and all the other cities and cultural places? They literally turned it all into latrines, and nothing else. That was the end of this country, which was very progressive, where the first heart transplant was performed. It had its own nuclear industry. It was a flourishing country. And what happened to it today? Poor people live there, including the same local population. Comment: here the question is whether to ask for forgiveness for past sins or not to ask. For example, Germany is going to give €1.5 billion for the development of Namibia. And Namibia says, not €1.5 billion, but you owe us €400 billion for the past genocide. My response: I think this is not how it should be. They should help in the restoration, strengthening, development, and most importantly in educating the population, in raising the general level of the population. After all, if you pour in not even $400 billion, but as much as you want, it still will not work out, it will even be worse. You will pull them out of their centuries-old way of life, and they will disperse completely and who knows what will happen to them. We see such examples all over the world. Therefore, I believe that there should be a completely different approach here based specifically on education. Question: how do you feel about the era of forgiveness, if it comes? Answer: there is no need for any forgiveness, they will not understand it all. They will turn it all upside down. Question: is this not a correction for those who ask for forgiveness? Answer: no, I do not believe that either. No egoism voluntarily agrees to all this. All this is happening under the influence of a small group of rabid egoists who believe that this is exactly what should be done. They demand that the government apologize, do something in this way or in that way. Comment: there is no component of education here. My response: there is none of this at all. Give us the money and shut up, that is what they demand. Question: does it mean that the countries will not become better, neither France nor Germany? Answer: if you do not raise the general level of the population, to which you as if owe, then nothing good will come of it. Rather raise the population that you allegedly suppressed earlier to today's level. In fact, we see that all over the world, everywhere, this process of colonization, slavery, use of the local population took place, in South America, North America, Africa, and Australia. This is a period that humanity must go through. And what to do today? Ask for forgiveness? There is nothing to ask, they just need to invest, and raise that population to today's level. This is decades of work. Build factories and plants for them. The most important thing is educational institutions, medical institutions, and so on. Raise, lift, make people out of them. In principle, I imagine that this is very serious work and for many, many decades. It seems to me that this will stretch for many generations. A few $100 billion is not enough here, it will take much, much more. But it must be done. It is necessary to bring the entire planet to a single system, the unification of education, upbringing, and internal development. Comment: and for the countries that want to buy off, that is not a process of correction for them? My response: no, there is no ransom here. Let's just forget about the past altogether. We need to bring the earth into a round state. I think that they will eventually come to this. Otherwise, there will be no peace in any way. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Lateman, June 7, 2021. Does the upper force need us? Question: does the upper governing force need us? Answer: the upper governing force needs us, because in this way we feel its attitude to us. It wants us to become similar to it from the opposite to it, as it created us, to become as it wants to see us. Dash as she wants to see us, from the opposite of it, as it created us. By transforming ourselves into the ones similar to it, we begin to reveal this force, understand it, draw closer to it, and literally adhere to it. Question: does it receive something from this? Answer: no, it does not need it at all. Everything is done only for our sake because the upper force is absolute goodness. Question: who does this power come from? Is there anybody behind it? Answer: there is a route that is not attained, but its actions are attained. The science of Kabbalah speaks about it. It teaches us to attain the actions of the Creator, but not the Creator himself. From CAB TV's Kabbalah Express, July 19, 2021. Those Jews again. Comment: addressing our viewers, and there are 2 million of them on Facebook, You said that you consider humanity as a single whole and do not divide it into nations according to skin color, and so on. Natalia writes, I remember that in another video you covered the events that took place in Israel, while trying to explain to us, the listeners, who the people of Israel, that is, the Jewish people are. I also remember that you tried to explain to us, what those people were created for. Let me ask you a question. Don't you yourself divide humanity into nations? In my opinion, you contradict yourself. Maybe we misunderstood something. My response, yes, maybe you misunderstood, maybe I did not say enough. I will tell you. All of humanity is divided into 70 so-called nations of the world. These are 70 spiritual roots that are reflected in the characteristics and properties of people. There is also a group that separated in ancient Babylon from all these 70 small nations of the world, a few people from each nation, and they became an assembled group among themselves. Abraham called it Israel. Israel is straight and El is the Creator. It means directed straight to the Creator. These are the people who came from all the 70 nations of the world who lived in Babylon at that time, and gathered under the leadership of Abraham because he taught them how to reveal, how to attain the Creator. Since then, everything is divided like this. That is why the entire world feels its dependence on this group, which should make contact between the nations of the world and the Creator, but has not fulfilled this yet. When they reach this, this implementation will force all the nations of the world and the people of Israel to unite together, and in contact with the Creator, they will find their eternal perfect state, what is called final correction. This is all. Question: are you saying that there is a group that should be the first to perform this correction, unite with each other and with the Creator, bring this message to the world, and lead the world to this? Answer: yes, this is what I mean. We should aim for this. I hope that we will do it. Comment: when is the division into nations? My response, this is all only because of egoism, which appears if we do not want to connect with each other. In general, as Balhasulam writes, humanity has no divisions into black, white, yellow, or red, into races and into nations. That is, it exists, but this is not a spiritual division, these are egoistic divisions. Question: is the spiritual state one single whole, one family? Should the people of Israel be the first ones to lead humanity to this? Answer: yes. They are the collective from all the nations of the world. They united then, it was in ancient Babylon 3,500 years ago. This idea of uniting and attaining the Creator comes from there. Question: these people at that time went after the idea? Do they have to implement it? Answer: yes. It is very simple to implement it. It is very simple to understand this idea. They must rise above their egoism, which divides them all, and unite above their egoism in the quality of love your neighbor as yourself. Within it you will find the Creator because the Creator is precisely the center of love. Question: does it mean that this division into the people of Israel and the nations of the world still exists for you? Answer: absolutely. Do you not see to this day what is happening in the world? This is an amazing division that exists at every moment of time, among anyone. There is no person in the world who would not feel this. Question: that there are nations of the world and the people of Israel? Answer: yes, that there is some group in the world that is absolutely alien to this world. The nations of the world have no idea what to do with this group. They believe that it harms them in everything. The people of Israel themselves do not know what to do with it. This is how they exist. The Creator does not allow them to make some last final decision as Hitler wanted. No one will be able to do this. Question: that is, these people cannot be destroyed in any way. They must fulfill their mission. Should both the nations of the world and the people of Israel understand this? Answer: yes. Comment: the question began with the fact that you said that there is no division for you. My response: eventually, There is no division for me because I am looking further, I am already looking at the correction. When I am looking at the correction, there are no longer any nations of the world or Israel, everyone is already connecting together there, they shall all know me from their smallest to their greatest, Jeremiah 31:33, and my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, Isaiah 56:7. Question: does it mean that you are looking at the final state? Answer: yes, it should be manifested very soon. Question: is it the correct way to straight away see the final state in the beginning of the action? Answer: yes, in nature everything is intended not the way we have, from the beginning to the end consecutively, but precisely in the way that the end of the action determines the beginning and the entire process. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Lateman, June 24, 2021.